Okay, so much for the little bird. Part 19, August 3rd, maybe? August 3rd. Yes, August 3rd. Well, here we are. The big month. Part 19 of Manner of Life. And here's some thoughts as we get into this. Because, you know, this is what Christianity is all about. And I was thinking about that. That's the manner of life. What do you do as a Christian that's different from the rest of the world? And thinking again here, as I've been noticing some things, when you watch old America, 1800s, 1700s, 1800s, that kind of a thing, when somebody became a Christian, on the average serious person, sincere person, they did what it is that Paul taught, or they didn't do. We're going to find out. We're going to put off some things tonight. So put off. And the things that Paul tells to put off, people used to put off when they said they were a Christian. But, oh, I forgot to write down there. It's 1800-something, Mark. You've got a good memory. When that book by William Carey, 18-something, 17-something, I forgot the date on that thing. And that here I'm going to put the title. I know you guys have heard this, but not everybody has heard this. This is the title of a book that William Carey, the father of modern missions, wrote. And that was when he separated the Great Commission from Paul. He actually took away Paul from the people in the mission field, which carried off back into America. The Great Commission, we know, has the signs and the wonders and miracles and all that kind of stuff. And you hear about that from missionaries all the time, you know. Here are these missionaries that God blesses on the field. There's the title. Get the date on that thing. Here's these missionaries. They're out in these woods and the jungles of Africa and the frozen tundra and all this stuff, getting all these miracles and all these things taking places. And yet, they have to ride back to the States to get enough money to buy toothbrushes and socks and clothes and stuff like that. I just thought of that. If you guys can produce miracles in these foreign fields, why do you need the support from back here in the States? If God was really going to take care of you over there, which he used to do in the early, early missions, sure he did. But they didn't have to have support. So here we are, we got these guys who want to be missionaries, and they want to travel around the country for 1, 2, 3 years and drum up a $25 or $50 support thing from the church. God wants them there. Then why don't you go and do your miraculous wonders when you get there? Which would include you eating the food they eat. It would include you, et cetera, et cetera. But this William Carey guy comes out with this book that I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, separated and took away Paul's teachings and emphasized the Great Commission. Yes, and there's the title of it. An Enquiry into the Obligations of Christians to Use Means for the Conversion of the Heathens, in which the religious state of different nations of the world, the success of former undertakings, and the practicability of further undertakings are considered. That's the name of this book. And yes, you got the right date. Good. 1792. And as that thing caught on in the mission fields, then all this Great Commission stuff started happening, the signs, because the devil will bless that stuff. We know that. Then it eventually came back to America, the way the mission fields were going. Now they treat the American churches the same way. Why? Because they have signs and wonders and miracles and things happen. That's what people want. So my point, we know this, but my point is this, that in early America, they would do what Paul was teaching because they could read from Genesis to Revelation and they would realize, okay, here's Jesus talking to the Jews, da-da-da-da. Now we go into this and then we go into Paul and now we're Christians, we grow up as Christians and we need to put off these things in our lives. And put on this stuff. And the only place you can get this stuff is from Paul. Just a few minutes ago, you thought I was sleeping. Just a few minutes ago, I was finishing up a quick study. I looked up the words and the phrases in Titus chapter 2, and they are not in the Gospels. Any of those teachings, that sound doctrine, the word sound doctrine is not in the Gospels. You pick any of those words or any of those descriptions or any of those commands or whatever you want to call them in Titus and Timothy, they are not in the Gospels. Now, he does mention good works that they do. He does mention holiness one time. And he talks about patience, patience of God towards them, and to love your enemies. And that patience would help you possess your soul. In other words, you could lose that kind of stuff. And that's it. You got your beatitudes, which tells you how to be, with an attitude, of course, like a thing. But when this stuff came out, and they started to see these successes in these countries, these mission fields, then the Great Commission took over. Now, people have been so hung up on the Great Commission in the last 50 years, 100 years or whatever, and they've dropped Paul so much today, Paul's teaching of the risen Savior, that these things where he says to put on this and put on that and put on this and put on that, put off this, put off these, Christians don't do anymore. Why not? Because that part of the Bible, if they're reading any Bible at all, doesn't teach this stuff. So that's my biggest point tonight is again, we see that we're going to talk about something that really none of us really want to hear. And these are things that we are to put off. These are things that we are to cast off. And we kind of don't want to do that. Why? Well, nobody else does. That's right. They're studying the Gospels, if they're studying anything at all. Their religion comes from the Gospels. And that religion, those Gospels, don't tell us what Paul tells us. So, let's look at a few of these things, for example. Now, the other day we did put on the armor of light. And the armor of light today is the King James Bible because it helps us see what we need to see. God works through this King James Bible. And so it's our armor, it's our light. So tonight, and we've only got 4 verses is all, as far as putting off. For example, let's go to Acts 7:33. Boy, I just got the feeling I'm not having something on properly here tonight, so I hope everything is working, but oh well. It'll help in a conversation with people. Tell them about the book that the guy wrote. He's a great hero of the Baptist, because that's where he came from, Baptist. And they stole Paul. They stole the risen Savior, his teachings, from the Gentiles. Anyway. Acts 7:33. Now, is this one of our verses? It's in Acts, but it's not before Acts 9. And there's even things after Acts 9 that we know. It's still transitional because of the Jews, etc., etc. But here is one of the verses they like to, or one of the teachings they like to talk about here. Then said the Lord, then put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Well, we know, that's Moses, Exodus, but, we got people that look at churches and physical places to be holy, to be sacred. And people fall for the sacred stuff. I mean, I'm living out here in the South Dakota reservation and stuff where lots of stuff is sacred. We can't go on hikes up Bear Butte Mountain because, I mean, you can, but you got to honor their sacred beliefs. Well, fine. This is America. You can have anything sacred that you want for you. But why do we have to honor? We will honor that just because we'll be nice. But we don't have anything physically sacred. Even this Bible. That was nice. I've got pages falling out of my Bible. I've written in it. And yet to me it's a holy book. But the book itself is paper and ink, and calf skin. Thank you very much, little baby doll. And this is not what he's talking about to put off. This is physical kingdom stuff. Yeah, put off your shoes because you're going to go to church. You're going to go into this temple place. You're going to be around where God's at. Well, if God's in the church, then let's behave properly because God will probably knock you one or whatever. That's their whole teaching. It's holy ground. To think some kids would desecrate, is that the word? Vandalize a church? Well, the concept of church, well, sure, but it's a building. It's no different than the armory across the street. It's no different than a Dunkin' Donuts that you have a Bible study in. But in their time, it was. So anyway, so we're not looking to Acts 7:33. We, being Paul-following people, are going to go to Ephesians 4:22. And we're going to find a verse that nobody really thinks is a good verse. but they say they're Paul people. And, you know, we had, right away, you've got to understand our flesh and our spirit, you know, and our soul, and you got to go through that stuff, otherwise we'd be in trouble. Because of this verse right here, Ephesians 4:22. He says, let's see, read it from the book instead of my notes here. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. We are told to put off what we were in the past. Simple, plain as day. The former conversation. Because that former conversation was corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. That's our flesh. And we realize that we've been separated from our flesh. We realize that now our mind wants to serve the law of God, but Paul says with our flesh we serve the law of sin. So we still have that battle. And that's the flesh, that's the battle we're supposed to put off, is what we used to do in our past. And it doesn't take very long, but people that are so willing to get rid of what they have to put off, what they have to, you know, put off to get rid of from their past, but it doesn't take them very long, and they put it back on again when they realize that, well, hey, all things are lawful. And they may learn the doctrine, well, it's not going to be imputed, and da-da-da-da. So the pressure's off. We have to do what Paul says. We have to actually grow up, put away childish things, you know, and start thinking like a grown-up here, like a grown-up Christian. But who wants to be told to put away that former put off that former conversation? Who's that guy, Mark? We talked about it. He says, stop it. Gotta think of that name. Stop it. I got these problems, doctor, and I got it. Well, then stop it. Well, I've got these intense difficulties in my personal life, and I just can't get rid of it. Well, stop it. I can't help but think about my old nature. Okay. Well, then stop it. No, he's a comedian guy, and I recently died, and he was a guy that a long time ago did the telephone thing with his hand, and I can't even, not that it matters, but you can listen to it on YouTube. You could probably type in the word stop it, but probably not. Bob Newhart, there you go. He's got it's just a funny thing. I mean, that's really the truth. What churches are preaching, what the pastors are preaching and teaching today is they're trying to get people to take that former conversation, if they have a former conversation, they're trying to get that old man to walk better, to clean up his act, and to ask Jesus into his old heart, and then start asking other people. And here's how you do it in your old nature. It's Bible psychology, Colossians 2:8. I was going to try to impress and read it out, do it by memory, but that's not going to happen. And he says here, Colossians 2:8, philosophies, he says here, beware lest any man spoil you through the philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. And he talks about the wise man of the world in 1 Corinthians. This is what people want. They want to get their life, their old conversation, just to be a little better than it was. No, we're supposed to put off that old conversation, look to the risen Savior for his teachings, and then put those things on. And nobody wants to do that because they've been great commissioned to the point where they just ignore Paul. And we've seen the history, but we see how it's come about. And we see the fact that in Romans chapter 11, 22, then God's going to say, listen, when you guys are finally done with what I'm trying to show you here, then I'm done to the Gentiles and you're done. Not an individual, but the nation. Okay, so we're starting to see the big picture overall. You know, it's an amazing thing. And yet, who cares? Do we even care that much? I mean, how much of our former conversation have we put off? Oh, well, good. You've done very well. How much of our former conversation have we put back on? Well, there's been some of that. You know, head bowed, all that kind of stuff. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Well, you know what? Let's go back to 1. Might as well make a note of it. That'd be a good whole series right there. 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, what a start. What a way to begin it. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's the risen Savior. Now, this is so obvious to me. and people argue and squabble over the teachings, fine. But to reject the whole Paul thing is just beyond me. And try to mix them both is crazy, but whatever. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And the gospel sets your affection on things on the earth, because that's what they did. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's us today. That's the Gentiles. Microphone. Sorry, folks, out there. When Christ, who is our life, and that's the risen Jesus, when he says Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with him. So he's not going to catch us off guard like people preach out of Thessalonians and Revelation. He's going to come back for the rapture, but being shamed because he comes in here in a casino or something, that isn't going to happen. Mortify therefore. So those first four verses, just mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. It's the physical stuff. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. It isn't just fornication. It's just dirty-minded, uncleanness. Inordinate affection, an unnatural affection towards somebody, like a guy to a guy. Well, I also think this unnatural affection stuff, inordinate affection, goes towards sticking your kids into a nursing school or a daycare or a school instead of you doing it yourself, parental stuff. Evil concupiscence, that's fleshy stuff. Covetousness, like who doesn't covet something? Boy, I sure wish I could have that house. So then you buy that house. 10 years later, boy, I wish I could have that house. Let's get in the car and let's drive around town. Let's look at some nicer houses than we have. We used to do that all the time. And it dawned on me one time, we'd not be doing this. We're teaching our kids that we're not satisfied with the house we have, and we always want to have the bigger and better thing. That's covetousness. And it's idolatry, it says. For which things, all those listed up there, sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. So he's knocking these people, but he also reminds us, by the way, in the which ye also walked sometime. Now here we go. But now ye also put off all these. Now here we go. Anger, wrath, malice. I mean, that means you want to get out, you actually want to hurt them with your anger. You're going to get them for it. Blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Now, have we put those off? Anger, wrath. Well, I get mad once in a while, but I'll get angry. Wrath? No, I don't have any wrath. Right. Malice? Well, sometimes I really want to go get them. I want to stand. I've got somebody in my target somewhere. Blasphemy? What would blasphemy be? Well, blasphemy is still blasphemy against the Word of God, blasphemy against the doctrine of God. Those are the two things. One a lady can do, one a man can do. You know, and I was thinking, well, then we got filthy communication out of your mouth. Have we stopped these things? Have we put these things off? You know, I was thinking the other day, some of the words we say when we get mad or whatever, it's an American cultural thing of what we're talking about, those slang words for some of that stuff. But is it filthy communication out of our mouth based on the book standard or based on American cultural standard? Well, if you go back to the early American culture, people did talk clean. Now, there was a crowd, you know. When I was a kid, they were called rinks. You know, they'd talk bad. And, you know, damning this and damning that. Well, that's using the Lord's name in vain. And yeah, that's wrong. But we have words today that we sing in high school cheers in the basketball game that we used to get in trouble for using that phrase when I was a kid. Now everybody's cheering it. Now everybody says it. Everywhere you go, it's a common phrase. There's common phrases. So is it actually considered filthy communication? So when somebody hears you cussing or whatever, and they think, well, man, you know, well, and I'm not trying to lighten that thing, but sometimes we think that, sometimes we lose our temper, we say some things, but all we're doing is saying some things that have some slang terms to it, but it's going to burn like anything else we say. Now, he does go on to verse 9, lie not one to another. Now, it doesn't say lie not with another. It says lie not one to another. And then he says, I like this, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Oh. So if Paul were to come visit us, and he would say, well, see, now I know that you put off the old man. You don't have the anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth anymore, do you? You're telling the truth to everybody you talk to, aren't you? Because, see, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him, that's reading about Jesus Christ himself and which Jesus, the risen one. Then it goes on, you know, with more stuff there. Put on charity down to the bottom. Charity's not in the Gospels. Isn't that just amazing stuff? I mean, just when you think about it, we have a Christianity today that does not teach to put off the old conversation. It tells you how to enjoy it properly. And then it's so bad in some churches that the old conversation, that's their godly life. I mean, that's what they expect is right. So the music has gone the way it's gone. The clothing standards have gone the way they've gone. The anger and the attitudes that these modern Christians can get into. They got this lovey-dovey stuff, but not everybody has that. And so, it's just, and yet the Antichrist is going to show up and he's going to be fine with that stuff. Anyway, I just repeat this stuff all the time. So, there you have it. We should practice the latter conversation since we are in the latter days. Yeah. And then, hey, maybe we could call our church, our little website family here, Latter-day Christians. And we can go for wagon rides, come out west and see if we can't start something in a different state. We'll claim another state or something. I mean, the devil has not let anything go by that he can't use to trick people into thinking they're getting the truth. Religion is not the truth, period. And no church has the truth. No denomination has the truth. The truth is by itself. You don't need a denomination to have the truth. You don't need to have a church to have a truth. You don't need to have a temple, all this kind of stuff. You need a Bible. King James rightly divided Bible. And then, just remember, it wasn't like this in the past. People just knew because they could read and they could make sense of this thing that to get to the risen Savior, well, let's learn the risen Savior stuff. So that's why we have to make such a fuss today about rightly dividing. We have to actually pull it out of their mess and separate the Bible for them to set aside the Gospels and get into the teachings of the risen Savior. So we have to make a big thing. I mean, there's only one verse that says rightly divide the word of truth. And you're not supposed to really build a doctrine, big thing on one verse. Well, we're really not. It's just that verse helps us help people see that, yeah, those Gospels and the Old Testament and the Tribulation books, I mean, that's all the way the thing's written out to be. So let's read it that way. Nothing tremendously dangerous, except we've got pastors today preaching and expecting people to have miracles, signs, and wonders. Now you got the oddball ones down south where they have the plans with the snakes and drinking poison, but everything else we accept, speaking in tongues, miracles following, you do good, God will bless you, the whole thing. What did I see yesterday that had to do with, no, I can't think of it, gain of money, gain, you know, gain is godliness. That's the big thing today. If you're getting bigger, you get more money, you got a building, all this kind of stuff, you got to be being blessed by God, because otherwise nobody cares about God. And oh, come on now. You know. Okay, now, let's, actually, believe it or not, I really don't want to get into the next stuff. I just don't want to get it started. Put off. Let's go to 2 Peter. So we'll just finish this thing up with 2 Peter right here. Oh, I can do one more verse after that, I think, here. I'll save that as well. It's one of these kind of a small point, but it's a big point tonight, this put off thing. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. Now here's another one of those put off things. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, you know, I'm going to die kind of a thing, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. So again, we see people following Jesus, and in Peter, people try to put on there that we're to follow Peter as we follow Jesus, but no, because he says right here, got to find it here, probably can't. It talks about Paul in chapter 5, but anyway, whatever. That, oh, so where are his footsteps? Like, if I can't, I'll just take it on my thing. I'll take it on my concordance thing here. Because you guys got that verse marked in Peter here. We'll go there, select a book. We'll go 2 Peter. Oh, come on, you're just wasting time here now. 1 and 2 Peter. Footstep. I botched it up. Anyway, they're going to follow Jesus' example. So as he died and did what he did, they're going to have to do the same thing. Well, they are. That's the tribulation. They're going to have to follow the law. Jesus walked the law. They're going to have to do that as well. So, no, we don't put our shoes off to go into a church. We don't think we're going to have to put off this tabernacle like Jesus did, otherwise we're going to go to hell. No, we're supposed to put off our former conversation, our past, those things that we've done in the past. And, you know, you could go to Galatians, I guess, if you wanted, Galatians chapter 5, and you could go through the fruit of the Spirit, or you could go through the list here that talks about the flesh things. Um, 19, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Those are the things we did in time past. So you read from Paul the different things that we used to do. He talks about them a couple of different places. And we're supposed to put that stuff off. Aren't we glad that grace is there, because when we don't put it off, grace still takes care of it. And when we go to the judgment seat of Christ, those things that we didn't put off, those things will still burn, but we won't. And those things that we're supposed to put on from the previous two sermons, we don't want to put them on. It goes against our flesh. And kids and everybody else is being taught in their churches how to be a better person. That's the old nature. That's the old man. They're not putting him off. They're trying to fix him up. So that's where we're at. And people don't want to hear this walk, this manner of life from Paul. And we're not even talking about his ways. We're talking about how it is we're supposed to be doing this. See, what's our attitude towards? Well, we're supposed to despise these things. Take away the magnificence from it. Destroy the magnificence of it. Put it off. Not procrastinate, just put off, get rid of it. If we could just get rid of our anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of our mouth, people would see a difference. They just would see a difference. But that's what we're supposed to do. Seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, seeing that Colossians chapter 1, you are risen with Christ. So then why do we get angry? That's our flesh still. That's our flesh. Anyway. Okay. Anyway.